Live from Africa and to the rest of the world, this is CII Radio, independent, authentic, and dedicated to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Bumper to Bumper. It's Friday night. I'm Ziad Plachis, and with me tonight is we have a very special appearance from a summiteer.
Listen,
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Jamil.
Wa alaikum salam, Ziad. Listen, it was one show, right? One. And I promise you, I tried my hardest because I really wanted to do this. You know, remember we spoke about this. Let's do like more like shows from outside. I mean, the show before this was from the Women in Motoring Awards. And it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't know how you felt.
Yeah, it was. It was nice to be out and about.
Yeah, so I really wanted last week's to be, but I promise you, the more we planned, the more those plans just fell through. And I think we got to a point where we sat back and said, okay, listen, let's just do whatever happens next and done, you know?
So tell us about the summit.
So it was really exciting, right? We've been planning this, but it was like a very big collaboration between different brands, right? So brands that came on as sponsors, brands that came on as colleague partners, and then there were some brands that literally just came on for us to test the equipment. So I think the biggest one, the one that pertains most to this show, is Mercedes-Benz, right? But we also, I spoke about Phoenix Lighting, Zoku. They do these like really cool water bottles. It's pricey, but definitely worth it. Like if you're looking at like a, call it your ordinary water bottle compared to this, it's worth the extra 150 rand, right?
The extra,
yeah. It's one of those, you know, those double insulated, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. So it's really like fancy stuff. But okay, so when I say nothing went according to plan, we were supposed to read Juma in Pretoria and leave for the Drakensberg, right? Basically, our stop was going to be a place called Witsie's Hook Lodge, right? It's at the foot of Sentinel Peak Hike. And we went with a guide, which I would strongly recommend. If someone wants to do this, just drop us a text, a WhatsApp, or get hold of us. I'll put you in contact with this guy. He was so amazing. He was so accommodating. He was just like really, he was a nice, call it guide for people who are doing this for the first time. So I've done a few hikes, nothing multi-day. Our plan was quite ambitious, right? We were supposed to drive down. And that evening, because we had this Phoenix Lighting set up, we said, okay, listen, let's summit in the evening. So if anyone's ever done the Tugela Falls hike, you'll know that you have to climb chain ladders and stuff. So we said, okay, how can we make this more challenging? How can we make this more fun? And also, how can we like bring in this amazing lighting brand? And obviously, the answers all pointed to start at night. So, like I said, we were supposed to leave after Juma. We said, okay, let's drive down to Drakensberg. And as we were driving, the guide kept on phoning the guy at the lodge. Because how it works is, you park your car at the lodge. There's about an 8-point-something-kilometer drive up, right? And what happens is you have to take a 4x4. It's not like a gravel road. It's like it's an obstacle course. Right
from the lodge,
from the lodge to the start of the hike.
But to the lodge, it's accessible.
To the lodge, it's absolutely accessible. It's a tar road. It's pavement. It's really any vehicle can get there.
Where about in the Drakensberg? Central.
I would say it's central. It's very close to Clarence.
Okay.
So it's that area basically.
Oh, okay.
In fact, when you're getting closer to the lodge, you actually see the entire like place take the. You know Clarence, right? You know there's a specific type of rock that you find. Okay. Everything starts looking like that, you know? And basically also like very close to Lesotho. So the guy who was supposed to take us...
More the sunny pass.
No, not that side of Lesotho.
Okay.
It's more... I'd say the closest you could look at is like Clarence.
Okay.
Right? So... you're in the Free State, which is weird because somehow whenever I think Drakensberg, I always think KZN.
Right.
But it was crazy. So the guy was supposed to take us up. We kept calling him to say, listen, we're running late. We ran very late. We were supposed to be there at, I told you, 7 o'clock, so that inshallah we could have like done the show from there. And I think we reached there about 10, right? But throughout the way, we kept phoning him to say, this is where we are. We're going to be here in the next hour, next half an hour. And we kept, and all the way up, he's like, no problem. I'm waiting. No problem. And we get to the lodge. We like, you know, unpack all our stuff. We get ready. We backpacks on. And we can't get hold of him anymore. He's not answering. Like an hour goes by. So we go.
This is at 10 o'clock at night.
So it's now like 11 o'clock at night. Right, so we go into the lodge, we explain to them, like, this is the situation. Someone was supposed to meet us here to take us up. So the guy at the front desk, he was very, very helpful. He's like, no, don't stress. We'll get you someone else. Just, here's a place, like, go and chill out in the dining room and let us try and get it for you. And about 20 minutes later, he walks in. He's like, listen, I've called someone. I'm just waiting to see. Look, long story short, it was 10 past 12. No one came. Right, so our guide, being the ultra adventurous person, he's like, listen, it's a trek up here, right? It's a steep trek. You're adding 8.4 k's or 8 point something k's onto your hike. Do you guys want to do it? And I think we were all just so excited and all just like so eager to like start that we started hiking at, I think it was 20 past 12.
8.4 kilometer hike before the hike.
Exactly. To get to the start
of
the
hike. How many of you were there?
We were 8 of us, right? So we start this hike, and I won't lie to you, it was difficult because it was like really dark. You literally see no end in sight. Okay? And the guide, where we actually started like teasing him about it, is like everything is just around the corner. Around the corner. So like, Milo, how much more? How much more do we have to go? No, it's just around this corner. It's around this corner, you know? And we got to this area, and I was like right in front with him. And he says, okay, no, I can see the house in the distance, or the security, like the starting point, the parking lot. And he says, I really hope that the gate is open. So I said, okay, and if the gate isn't open, what are we going to do? He's like, look, we'll either wait there until they open, or we'll try and jump it or something, you know? I said, listen, we are going to jump it because I'm not going to sit here. We just walked up for like literally 3 hours. We get to the gate, it's open, but it's really, really windy and cold. I don't know if you noticed this last weekend's weather was just like weird, right? So we get there, there's the security archim. We wake up the security guard. He allows us into the hut. So our guide says, listen, we've got about an hour and a half until sunrise. Let's sit here. Let's have some tea, coffee, whatever it is. Just relax a bit, and then we can start. So an hour goes by, hour and a bit, and we again, you know, back up, and we're ready to go. And as we leave, so the walking formation, like, we were 8 of us, but we were never like walking 8 people together. It was always like, you know, 2 year, 2 year, 3 year. There's like little groups. For some reason, I don't know what I was trying to prove. I was always with the guide, right? Like right in front. And he tells me, you know what, let's stop the group now, because if you look over your shoulder, it looks like it's going to rain. So I turn around, I look over my shoulder. And you know, when you look in the distance, you see like a dark patch in the sky. Mm-hmm. It was literally that. And I thought to myself, listen, man, this guy can get us to like a point, and then we can put on like, you know, our raincoats, and you get like this big cover, right? And I promise you, not even like 4 or 5 minutes later, we were drenched. It's ridiculous. Firstly, like, the Drakensberg is absolutely stunning. It's like, so I'm like, I really like appreciate like nature and outdoors. So I get like almost like emotional, like when I see all of this. It's like so overwhelming. Like, you feel so tiny, you know. And it's definitely something that I think you must experience. I spoke to Hafiz Imran. I think we should have a CII. We did the summit.
What time did you?
What time we got to the top? Look, with a lot of breaks, but not breaks because we were tired. Breaks because we're just taking in all of this. At about 11, 12, midday.
So
for
12 hours.
Yeah. No. So I'm going to tell you how this became 24 hours, right? So we got to the chain ladders, my luck. So I have a fear of heights. Like, it's tiny, but it's there.
But you went up a
mountain. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But you know when you have a fear of something and then you, like, overcome it, it's like more of an accomplishment. That's kind of like what I'm aiming for. Yeah. My luck, as I go up, it starts raining, right? So to explain to you, the chain ladders, I'm not sure how many meters it is. It feels like forever. But you're holding onto these ladders and it's raining, it's wet. There's no, like, harness. There's nothing like clipping you in. If you fall, you fall. It's done.
But where's the ladder attached to?
So it's literally attached to chains on the top of the mountain.
Okay.
So you basically, it's like, it gives you like a boost up. So instead of, like, you know, continuously using the contours of the mountain to reach the summit, you're basically climbing, what's it, vertically up to the top.
Okay.
And that went well. We got to the top. It was an amazing feeling, right? So when we get to the top, I promise you, it looks like a summer's day. So we're like, again, let's go. Let's have a bit of a rest. Let's eat. And then we go and see the falls, right? Because the entire hike is, we went to go and see the Tugela Falls. Would you believe if I said we didn't see the falls?
Oh, why?
So in the space, in that time that we went to go and rest and eat and stuff, like, I've never experienced something like this, like, on the ground, but there was like a blizzard, like hail, rain, wind. And our guide, he's such an amazing guy. And, you know, I don't know, I first thought he was like being over dramatic because he was in the army and he was like a pilot. So, you know, we like sit down and he's like, listen, guys, you need to know who's in front of you. You need to know who's behind you. If one of those people change, we need to stop immediately. Like, you know, he like made it so like, and I'm thinking, this is amazing, right? And honestly, if I stuck my hand out in front of me, like a hand, like an arm's distance, I couldn't see the palm of my hand. Like, you're in a cloud or whatever it is.
You needed to put on your hazards and your fog lamps. And
So let me tell you what we did. So it's so funny that you mentioned that. We all took our headlamps and faced it to the back. So that the person behind you can see where to go, because you couldn't,
yeah.
Right? And what an amazing experience. We couldn't spend the night on top because we were supposed to do Mahai the next day. I don't know if it was that, or I think some of the group started feeling the rugby finals. So either way, we came down that same night when we were supposed to stay. If I tell you, like, the boots I was wearing were waterproof, but they were completely drenched because, like, the water runs down your pants into your shoe, basically, you know. I got to the lodge. My hands were literally, like, creased. I was freezing, like, shivering, right? And I'm not sure how, Alhamdulillah, but we were eight of us. They had just enough rooms because it was a busy weekend. Got a room, booked a room. Hot shower, watch the rugby. Next day, we were supposed to do there was no visibility, like zero. So we said, okay, cool. Nothing went according to plan. But the nice thing about this whole thing is it gives us the opportunity, inshallah, to return. And next time, we'll go a little bit more. I can't say prepared. Everything stemmed from us being late. And why we were late is obviously, you know, load shedding, right? Friday afternoon load shedding to leave Johannesburg is like, it's a mission. It's like 2 hours to get out, like past Germiston. So I think that's the only thing that it wasn't a thing that we weren't prepared. I mean, we had like all the equipment, preparation. Obviously, like the weather that you get is a mixed box. Like, you know, it could be amazing. The fall itself could be, after rains, it's obviously the best, but then you have like a risk of like thunderstorms when it's in that season, but definitely something you need to experience.
Inshallah.
Are you into this sort of thing?
I hike, not like hectic for 12 hours, but
it was 24,
24 yes, hours,
24 hours,
yeah, like hiked. 2 or 3 hours is fine, but
so you're like more on the local hike, like a day hike sort of thing.
Yeah, well, these local, like, nature reserves and stuff. Nothing to, yeah.
Nothing to, okay. Okay, no, and then
nothing where I can't see my hand in front of me.
No, but it was really, it was such a great experience. I only realized like how many people from like the CII family and like just general are into hiking. So if anyone hears any recommendations, or whether it's day hikes, overnight, whatever it is, like please drop us a WhatsApp. I really want to plan one. Like I'm looking at like a once a month thing. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It was one of those things that I think, I'm a hiker now.
You're a mountaineer.
A mountaineer. Yeah, I think if you climb the ladders. But look, that brings me to the V class, right? So as
tell
I said,
us about it.
So this was the V300 Special Edition. What was special about it is a lot. Honestly, I won't lie to you. I don't think there was a more comfortable way to get seven people down to the Drakensberg. Like, no joke, this car eats up the road. I don't think that vehicle knows that it weighs what it weighs and the size that it does, because like you take off from a toll gate just to like see, okay, 174 kilowatts of what is it, like almost 3 tons. Absolutely amazing, spacious, luxury. It's like flying first class, basically. You know, it has all those trays that fold down. And just to test it, right, I always used to see these guys with the roof boxes. So when the vehicle was going to come, I requested that it stays on, because they ask you, do you want it or not? And the reason they say, or they ask you, is the vehicle with the roof box can't fit into like your normal like mall parking. You can't do like a drive-through or anything. So I was a bit skeptical, but then I was like, also, we've got seven passengers. I want to see, like, this thing says it can load 75 kilos. Like, does it work? And it works. I weighed the amount of, call it, luggage that was inside there. It was about 50, 56 Ks to be honest. But then something weird happened, because at like 120 kilometers per hour, I'm not sure if it was like fitted incorrectly, but at 120, really, like I'd say 115 to 120, it starts to like wobble and bounce. So if you, it's scary to look at. So if you open up the sunroof, it has this massive panoramic roof where you can see the whole box. It almost like flutters on the roof. So I really need to get in contact with them to find out if this was like a installation fault, or did I pack it incorrectly? Sometimes with these things, it's all about like weight distribution and stuff like this, because I did a lot of research on it, and that box is actually developed by AMG in a wind tunnel. So I assume this thing is going to be silent, not move around, be super comfortable on the deck. Or I'm not sure if it was just too much crosswind or what. But like even when we were leaving, I mean, it was raining, it was storming on the way on Friday when I called you. So yeah, I don't know. Have you ever driven with one of those boxes?
I haven't. But is this the V box? It's called a V box or something. It's a special.
It's an AMG loading box, right? Okay. It actually has like a diffuser at the back of it. Yeah, it's stunning. It's like sculpted. It's like it's a nice looking box, and it looks so nice on the vehicle. Like it just looks like a road trip. Like it's a bit of a schlep. I won't lie to you. You feel like very.
But how do you get there to the top?
So that's a very valid point. You need to open the sliding door. You need to stand on that little ledge and hope that you're tall enough. I honestly feel like a vehicle at this price and at this, like aiming at this luxury, like why don't we have a little step that pops out?
Oh, is there nothing?
Nothing. That's something else that I actually noted. Like it was really frustrating for like shorter people. I could reach the stuff like pretty decent. But if your bags move to the back or whatever, it's like almost impossible to get it. You have to like use like, you know, your hiking thing to pull it this way. But that's literally everything that had to do with the box. The car itself was amazing. Absolutely amazing. But 2.5 million around there.
And fuel consumption?
Fuel consumption really surprised me. So just to give you, I'm not sure what size tank is it, but I went and came with basically one tank.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How many kilometers is it?
It was about, I'd say around 800.
Okay.
Yeah. And like fully loaded, like in terms of we had seven passengers in the vehicle.
But the Mercedes-Benz fuel consumption is very good.
Honestly, with some works, I think if you drive it in like a decent way, the optimum, call it like consumption range, is actually where the national speed limit is. Mm. So you'll see, like, for example, even with the A-Class, right? If you had 120, your revs are not even touching 2,000 revs. It's like just like bubbling along, you know? So yeah, amazing drive. I couldn't have thought of a better car. I think maybe if I could think of another car that would have taken us in similar comfort and maybe even done the top, maybe a Grand Cherokee, the L.
You know, I haven't driven it, but I've been in it, and yeah, it could.
Look, it's
so
not
you
gonna
have, so you would have missed out on that 8.4 kilometers.
A blessing, absolute blessing. But okay, let's do this. Lucky needs a break, so let's take a break. And when we come back, I think we've got Michael on the line. We haven't spoken to Michael in a while.
CII Radio, embracing Africa, one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, welcome to the second half of the show. Generally, the more exciting part, where I'm not just blabbering about some random trip in a V-Class, right, Ziad?
No, this
is the part in the show where we get serious. We get industry experts. You know, it's not just two guys just talking crap here.
Yes, true.
True, right? So that brings us to Michael. Very good evening to you. How are you?
I'm excellent. Good evening to all the listeners. I hope you are well. How are you guys doing?
Doing amazing. Yeah. We haven't heard from you in a while. So we just said, let's touch base with Michael. Find out how's things going. It's been a scary looking time for, call it auto sales.
Absolutely. The motor trade is genuinely under pressure. And that's interesting. When we talk about the motor trade, we've always got to separate new cars and used cars. But focusing on new cars, I don't know if you've seen the latest sales figure. Month on month, year on year, the numbers are down. And the reasons, honestly, are so simple.
Okay. So is it not just face value sales are down?
It's just the high interest rate, the increased prices, the increased lack of affordability that your average consumer has. People's salaries are just not keeping up with inflation. And funny thing is, it's not just a South African phenomenon. This is worldwide. But you speak to people in new car sales, they'll tell you it's tough. It's tough out there.
Right. Well, Michael, it's funny you talk about that. Hyundai, I heard the Hyundai Tucson, they're giving a 7-month payment holiday. So you're basically driving a car for free for almost a year.
Oh, half a
year. More than half a year.
So it's interesting. And I have a huge, huge problem with these payment holidays because nothing is for free. So let's just use a simple example, the interest component, because there is always a holding cost for their capital. The vehicle is 400,000 Rand. Your payment should be 9,600 Rand per month. You've got a payment holiday for 7 months, all very good. But your payment when you make your first payment is not 9,600. It's structured at 10,200. All they've done is they've just paused the interest for 7 months and added it on to the next 60 months. Imagine, picture this scenario. After 7 months, you say, sorry, I've run into trouble. Can you take my car back? It's not going to happen. You owe them a lot more than what you paid for the car originally. And that, I can assure you, is the truth.
Definitely. You know what? I've always saw this as like, call it a cheap ploy to get you into a vehicle. I think it also appeals to a very simple consumer where, you know, he's just not thinking this through.
100%. Or you take your cashback programs, and I'm very open. I'm not trying to offend any motor group. But if you are selling a car for 500,000 Rand and you're offering a 50,000 Rand cashback, what does it actually mean? All they've done is they've just put the price up by 50 and giving you 50 back. If you walked in and you said, I want a cash price on this car, I'm not financing it, I'll give you 350,000 instead of 400,000. They will take it there and then. Cashback is it's a fake concept. I am not a fan of it at all. Not a fan of it at all. Sure. But interesting, Michael, we're talking. Yes?
No. Sorry, carry on.
Interesting what we're saying is your motor division is always divided into two components, new and used. When people can't afford new cars, doesn't mean they don't buy a car. What happens when new car sales are down? Used car sales generally are up. Because a person still needs a new car, and I use the word new in the form of a replacement car. So I've got a budget of 500,000 rand. A year ago, that would have put me into a brand new car. Now it's putting me into a one-year-old car. So new car sales are up slightly, which is a positive. The industry itself is doing all right, but under pressure.
Right. Michael, what advice would you give to someone who's looking for a new car, who's looking for a good deal, and just basically, what are the brands that are something that's long-lasting? I mean, something that you can say, hey, you know what, this guy's going to last me. I could probably pass it down way after it's paid off, you know?
So historically, we've always looked at the Japanese and lately the Korean stuff. I'm a huge fan of the Suzuki product. I cannot tell you how deserved the Suzuki success is. Their dealerships are exceptional. Their products are good. Go rent a car when you go to any airport in South Africa today. What car is going to be available for rental? Your VWs, naturally, your Toyotas. But your first choice, in my opinion, should be a Suzuki. I don't know what you personally feel about a Suzuki product.
For me personally, I think Suzuki is the brand offering the most value in this country.
No question.
And you know, it's just, they're not giving you a cheap and nasty. It's just a really good product.
That's exactly it. I always say it is what it advertises it is. It's not overly fancy, but it doesn't feel cheap. So give you an example, if I may, on our TV show, on the website, All Things Motoring, we've launched a advice line, Ask Mikey. To give you an idea, in all the time we've been going, I've not had one single complaint or negative question about the Suzuki product. I can truthfully say it's probably the only product off the top of my head that we haven't had a single complaint about. I mean, I promise you, I assure the listeners, I'm not a Suzuki PR. I get asked a question, I'll always give the truthful answer. Unbelievable product.
No, definitely. I 100% agree with you. And it's also across the board. I mean, they make little exciting vehicles. I mean, you've got the Jimny, it's vehicles that have character as well. So it's not like just this boring little cookie cutter situation, you know?
But that's exactly it, without saying the same thing in a different way. The vehicles are appealing. Next week at 12 o'clock, we are airing on All Things Motoring the Suzuki Jimny Day that recently happened 3 weeks ago in Clarence. I don't know if you know about that. It was the largest gathering of Suzukis anywhere in the world. It was just magnificent. And the people were smiling because they've got a product that just doesn't give them nonsense. It's magnificent.
I think any vehicle or any brand that can have a cult-like following like a Jimny is just a recipe for success.
No question. You take the luxury brand in South Africa, Audi, BMW, Mercedes. BMW's got a cult following because of the M cars, because of the 3 Series. Mercedes is starting to get that through the AMG range. Unfortunately, Audi, which I think is an absolute magnificent premium product, does not have that cult following. So you're 100% right. Suzuki is starting to get that. It appeals to young and old and everyone in between.
So Michael, just you mentioned Mercedes-Benz, right? I'm not sure if it's just me, but I kind of pick up the sense from Mercedes-Benz that they headed to like ultra luxury, where I think they're bypassing the BMW and Audi level of luxury. I just feel like they're C-class. It's just on another level. And I'm not sure what's that going to do for pricing and, consumers.
So Mercedes had a completely different marketing strategy in South Africa. To give you an idea, Mercedes is one of the manufacturers where the dealers buy the car from the Mercedes factory. They don't hold the stock themselves. So you can walk into a Mercedes showroom and say, I want this car. Perfect. We'll buy it from the factory. They don't have it in stock. But to answer your question or your statement, absolutely. So historically, if you said to me the three luxury brands, my personal favorite, out-and-out Audi, second Mercedes, third BMW, I think Mercedes at the moment are without a doubt the brand on the highest trajectory. Just unbelievable product, very luxurious, appealing interiors. All cars fundamentally look good in the outside, but I think it's the interiors, I don't know about you, that talk to me the most. You look at a car's interior, it's that that's got to say hello to me nowadays.
100%. As a driver, I mean, that's what you're looking at most of the time. I mean, definitely.
No question. But Mercedes is an absolute premium product. I think the challenge that all the manufacturers have is they're all pricing themselves out the market. You take R1 million as a number. R1 million is not a huge, huge number for a car anymore. A VW Tiguan is approaching R1 million. When you thought 5, 6, 7 years ago, R1 million car, it was just something that was almost unattainable. Today, your Buckies, your double cabs, Rangers, your Amarok, 1.2, 1.3 million. It's crazy where prices have gone.
100%. If you look at a 3 Series, I mean, you could easily spec it to 900 R1 million. And I'm not even talking about an M340 or any 320 diesel can hit you 950.
Absolutely. Your Golf GTI, and it's a magnificent car. A Golf GTI is a wonderful, wonderful car. But going back 15, 20, 30 years ago, Golf GTIs were entry-level cars with, sorry, let me not say entry-level, but they were top-of-the-range entry-level cars with performance. Today, a Golf GTI is a super, super expensive car. But there's something else that I wanted to share with the listeners. The price of petrol in South Africa, we think it's incredibly expensive, and truth be told, it is expensive for South Africans. But if you take the exchange rate into account, you know that the price of petrol in this country is actually a lot cheaper than in other countries.
I know if you put it on like a call it a benchmark of other countries, there's some countries that are ridiculously expensive.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we're doing all right. I just wish we could get our petrol from Botswana, because in Botswana it's a lot cheaper.
Yes, yes, yes. And if I'm not mistaken, don't we supply them with fuel?
100%. But their government's a lot more lenient on taxes. So to all those listening that work for the government, come on, guys, do the right thing for the citizens, man.
100%. Michael, one last thing before you go.
Anytime.
I've got so many people who are writing articles, who are taking such amazing content, videos, pictures. What can they do with it?
You're asking me a question that I crave to answer. So our website, allthingsmotoring.co.za, we've developed it now that it's literally in the most positive way. Whoever you are, whatever you're doing, you can contribute. You spoke about articles. If you believe you've got an aptitude for writing, please go on, submit an article. You have a video, submit a video. You have a podcast, you have a question, you want to start your own page, you've got something beautiful on the site called Create a Page. So just, if I may repeat the website again, allthingsmotoring.co.za. Go on, make yourself at home, become a contributor. If you write well, or even put your photo up as a contributor. Jamil, I'm sure you know, you can share it. You're a contributor to the wonderful website, and we appreciate everything that you do for us.
100%, Michael. The one thing I can tell you is the way that website has taken shape and the time it's taken, it's just amazing to watch, really.
Thank you.
It's just, you can just see the passion behind it. I mean, it's a platform for people who love cars. Whether you like cars, buckies, bikes, literally all things motoring, as the name states, whatever your preferred, call it medium of getting your message across, there is something for you on there.
So Thank you so much. And to the listeners, to you and your incredible team, it's always a privilege to be on a Friday evening. Wishing everybody a wonderful weekend and peace be upon us wherever we are in the world.
100%. Michael, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure having you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and we will chat soon.
Thank you and bye to everybody. Thanks so much, Jamil. Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jay. Bye-bye. So, car sales, yeah?
Yeah, it has
the figures have literally shown a decline.
But you were talking about Suzuki, and Suzuki has actually pushed through. They're actually looking at opening more dealerships
so
in the next few months.
You know, people will laugh because they should change this show to Suzuki to Suzuki. Because I promise you, before Michael said this, I've said this on air. Lucky will have it.
Yeah.
There's no brand giving that amount of value in South Africa, period. Yeah. The vehicles are solid vehicles. They no nonsense. The engines, the way they drive, it's just like, you know, it's going to last.
It's now the people's car.
It's, oh my God, that's literally it.
Yes.
That's literally it. Yeah.
But yeah, so they have some exciting stuff coming up. The Japan Mobility Show was recently.
Yes.
And there's, I don't know if you saw the Swift concept.
I love it. What did you think of it?
Well, we need to see it. I like to see pictures, but I like to see it in person.
No, okay, so let me.
I love to see it in person.
Okay, yes. That always makes a big difference. But these kind of call it spy shots, and it excites me. Like I feel like a kid.
Yes. And then they also have a few EVs coming out.
Okay.
Yeah, and then like we said, they're pushing through with the sales. They still, I think, last month, October, they sold about 3,000 or 4,000 cars.
Yeah. Like I'm saying.
And they have over 100 dealerships now, and they still want to open more.
Sure.
So they just doing.
What's your favorite model from the Suzuki range?
Personally, if I were to buy a Suzuki tomorrow, I'd buy a Fronx.
Really? Okay, but look, I'm not surprised. It's a really nice vehicle,
no.
And an amazing price point also.
Yes,
270, right?
Yeah. So the it has everything.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, when the Swift, you know, we were all like Swift fans. Then the Grand Vitara I like as well, but the Fronx just has like everything. I don't know. It's just it's just right.
Yes. No, I fully agree with you. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
It's also got this it's got a certain character to it.
Yes.
It's like got a design. It drives nice. I like it.
The name we weren't so happy with, but I mean it grows on you. Yeah, and with everything else, and you, what would you?
Jimny. Yeah.
Definitely.
The hands down.
The normal one or the 5?
I want the 5, do you know?
Is it?
Yeah. And I take my kids with. No, seriously. I always wanted to own one. Just as a, so you know, like Find Your Adventure. I wanted it to be like a vehicle mascot. I think it basically, it sums up the whole company, you know? So I always wanted one.
Hey, maybe Suzuki will sponsor you since we talk about them so much. But talking about spy shots, on the way here, I felt like a kid or a spy because there was a car on the road which was camouflage, right?
You mean with the stickers, that
yeah,
black and white?
Yeah, the black and white stickers. No number plate, no badge, no anything. Left-hand drive.
Okay.
And it was speeding along the N1. And we tried to get as close as possible to it. I personally think it's a new BMW X3 that they're testing. But I just felt it took me back to when I was a kid and I used to go on, before social media, there was spy photo websites.
Yes.
And we used to look at these things and I always thought, how come we never see any of these in South Africa? And today, for the first time, I saw a camouflage car. So I was like, over the moon.
So you say that, right? The first time I ever saw call it camouflage car, is a Nissan Navara. You know the current shape? So we were driving somewhere near Muldersdrift. But if I tell you I was obnoxious about it because I whipped out my phone and I started recording, and the driver, you could see, was like, no, stop it, like, you know. So we were driving on this, like, very long road, and when he saw me do this, he literally just turned off. So that was the first time I saw one in the, like, in actual. But I know somewhere in the Northern Cape, you see a lot of it. They do some sort of
testing. Yeah, there's testing there. There's a road, I think, that you can do 250 kilometers. It's like, yeah. So they do a lot of testing there.
Okay, so when are we going here?
Yeah, we can go.
So how does it work? Like, is it like
you? It's legal. It's a legal road.
So you're telling me the speed limit is 250?
Something ridiculous like that. Yeah, I can actually check it for you. But I know there is. I think it's somewhere in the Northern Cape. If I'm not mistaken.
So you stopped here at the Speed Week. Why didn't they go there?
They had it at Sun City.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but. No, I'll check all the details. Maybe one of the listeners actually know the road.
Okay.
But yeah, you can go there and legally test.
If someone knows about this road, please let us know. I have a motorbike. I want to know.
No, but there's certain times, I think, in the day. You see, like, maybe it's like 8 till 6 or something.
It's
that
fine.
You can.
I'll make the arrangement.
And it's like boiling hot, like 40 degrees or something. It's like in the desert. You know, like you see those those clips.
Yeah, so you just see like a mirage,
yeah.
Horizon.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a Raptor there.
We can take any car then. We can just go test it out.
We need a car that does do 50.
A Raptor doesn't do 250. Does a Raptor do 250?
No, I don't think so.
So then you should take like a Porsche or something. You always wanted to take.
Yeah, but I mean, you could also take like a 3 Series.
You could take any car there. That's what I'm saying. Going to test it out, but okay. If anybody does know, then they can let us know.
Okay.
So we just received a WhatsApp now from Uncle Shiraz. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once more, B2B, you guys rock. Salams and du'as, Shiraz Randley. Jazakallah, Uncle Shiraz. Jazakallah once again
so
for all
much.
The
Thank
support.
You for all, yes, it's like I think if we have like a biggest fan, it's Uncle Shiraz.
Yes. We should invite him to the studio one.
You mustn't be stingy. You must send Uncle Shiraz a bamboo to bamboo hoodie.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
So we'll get his details and we
yes
send him one.
Okay, fine. Yeah. We'll ask Lucky to please grab Uncle Shiraz's details and we'll send Uncle Shiraz. I know he's a BMW fan, so maybe we'll find a way to slip in three colors on the air or something.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Mm.
Sure. But before we go, so last week you weren't with us, right? And I didn't want to talk about it, but I just gave a snippet of the Alfa Romeo Rosso driving experience that you invited me to. And we went to Swartkop. So just explain to the listeners what we...
Okay, so what Siad wants me to say is that he won an award there because of his time on the Gymkhana again. Okay, so you know what, right? If we can get a sponsorship to Simola Hill Climb, we have a very, very good driver in our last year. Listen, I want those figures audited because you hit a cone, okay?
A cone, did I?
Yes. You did. Didn't you get a penalty?
No, the penalty wasn't for the hitting the cone. I have the video, I can show you. I went over the line when we parked the car.
But no, Alhamdulillah, you did very well. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Watching it, it looked fast.
Isn't it?
I'm not going to lie. Like when you did it, I was like, okay, this guy, he did it. He did it like the Franks. So well done to you. Alhamdulillah.
But tell the listeners, don't worry about my...
The Stelvio, that's what you want. Okay, the Stelvio has an identity crisis. It thinks it's a hot hatch.
What?
It's a full-size... Okay, not full-size, but it's an SUV. That's not...
It is an SUV.
It's a full-size.
It's a... What do you call it? A family SUV.
Okay.
I don't know all the... There's so many categories now.
You know what, right? This is... We have a caller, so we have to. I'm almost certain it's someone who knows something about the road. Lucky, do we have a caller on the line? Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers. How are you guys doing?
Alhamdulillah. And you?
Alhamdulillah. So I just want to confirm the road you guys talking about where all the high-speed tests take place is in the Northern Cape. There's a certain section of the road between Springbok and Upington where there are even boards that display government-approved high-speed testing. And, of course, it has to be done under supervision and, of course, obviously with authorization from the provincial government department. And a lot of the European manufacturers actually use that part of the Northern Cape because of the weather conditions to do the what is called hot weather testing. One gentleman that we all know very well, Willem van Rooyen, who currently is still working for Suzuki, you must actually get him on the line because he will tell you umpteen stories about the cars that they used to drive when he used to still work for Nissan before he joined Toyota. And he will tell you about the times when he used to do multiple rounds up and down, almost covering, like, he'll tell you they would cover almost 1,000 kilometers in less than 16 hours or 14 hours, stopping only to basically go for a toilet break and changing drivers. But they used to do it at a hell of a high speed, speeds in excess of 200 kilometers per hour. That is like we're talking, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But guys, you guys are doing a great show. All the best. Enjoy. Ma for this interruption, but I have to run for Namaz.
No problem. Just one thing. So is the supervision like parental supervision that you need on the road, or?
I think more divine intervention as well when you consider the kind of speeds that these guys attain, right?
Not a problem. Jazakallah. Thanks so much.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
So, Ziad, that literally signifies the show's over. Because yes. We just had lights out. I know that we're going for news. So let us not waste time. From us at Bumper to Bumper, Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah for tuning in. Uncle Shiraz, always a pleasure. Hope to speak to you soon. And
have a good week and stay safe.
Bakila.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Live from Africa and to the rest of the world, this is CII Radio, independent, authentic, and dedicated to you.